This is Ozarks at Large. That could be the first time Sammy Hagar has been on Ozarks at Large. I don't know that for a fact, but the reason we're listening to Sammy Hagar and I Can't Drive 55 is because Randy Dixon had this idea for the latest romp through historical archives provided by the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. Randy Dixon is with me on the phone. Welcome back, Randy.
Well, hi, Kyle. How are you?
I'm fine. We are not talking about Sammy Hagar this week, but that song...
No, but it sparked an idea. You know, it's a protest song. It's, you know, I Can't Drive 55, and it was actually a guy protesting the Emergency Highway Energy Conservation Act, which means they lowered the speed limit to 55, and that was right in the midst of the gasoline, you know, oil crisis of the 70s.
So we're going to talk about Arkansas and the oil and energy crisis.
And I wanted to start off with that 55 because KATV Channel 7 that has the archives was actually there when they were changing signs. And, you know, it was a mandate. It was Nixon signed it into law the first of 1974, and the states had 60 days to comply, so they were there when they were changing the signs in Arkansas from 70 or 75 to 55, and they talked to one of the state troopers who was there overseeing.
We won't start enforcement until the highway department completes the erection of all these signs statewide. And they tell us it'll be about 30 days before they do this.
Do you expect most Arkansans to comply?
I think so. I think, by and large, the majority of the people will voluntarily comply with it. There are a few individuals who won't, just like they didn't comply with the 75-mile-an-hour limit. And those are the people we'll have to take enforcement action against.
So the national speed limit is reduced to 55. It's that way from coast to coast, and this is a result of a tightening supply of oil.
That's right, and it was actually not repealed until 1995 by President Clinton, but it all sort of started with the 73 embargo. OPEC proclaimed an oil embargo on the countries that did not support them in the Yom Kippur war against Israel. And so they immediately, and, you know, some of the countries, of course, the United States, but Canada and Japan and the UK, I think the Netherlands, but they were immediately had prices increased on not only oil, but just petroleum, natural gas, that sort of thing. And just to show you how much, gas increased 43% from 38 cents a gallon in May of 73 to 53 cents a gallon in June of 74. So, you know, needless to say, gas station owners were beside themselves because there was no regulation. All that was happening was the oil and gas producers were just, you know, passing along the cost increase. And they even talked about, you know, having a shutdown.
I feel like that we've got to have an increase to continue operation. And I feel like it will take at least a 3 cent increase to be able to break even and be back to the point where we can make a living.
Are you going to shut down?
I hope not to. I'd rather not. I would rather work it out in some other means. But if that's the only way, why, I will, yes.
How do you feel about a shutdown?
If that's what it takes to let the people, you know, become aware of what our problem is, I'm just a small businessman. You multiply that over 12 months, $6,000, I can't afford it.
Well, can you afford to shut down?
Well, I can't afford to, but I can't afford not to. If that's what it's going to take to let the people know we've got to have relief from this situation.
Gas station owners in the midst of the energy crisis, the gas shortage. Dale Bumpers was governor of Arkansas at that time, and so he had, it's a national crisis, but it's also one in Arkansas.
Right. He, and a lot of it was national, but, you know, they were looking at state governments to reduce prices, emergency vehicles, even, you know, the cars that he would travel in. But he, you know, he asked for rationing and even weekend closings of gas stations. But it continued from when he was governor up through his time in the U.S. Senate.
I can tell you that in my personal opinion, either of those will be acceptable. And they will be acceptable by the people. Though initially they're going to have an adverse reaction and they're going to have an impact. But if we're going to cut gasoline consumption in this country, for example, by 20 to 30%, there's only one way to do it. And that's to either allocate it or ration it.
One thing I love that you started doing with our visits is not only including the archives that have been digitized that were first aired on KATV in Little Rock, now at the Pryor Center, but you're also calling people who lived through this, and you did that again this time with Governor Bumpers and later Senator Bumpers' chief of staff.
Yes, Archie Schaefer. He was great. He went... his thoughts on what was going on at the time and him being first in the governor's office.
The lines at gas stations that everybody was suffering, pressure put on the governor to do something to conserve gas in state government vehicles and what have you. And there was lots of conversation about you know, more fuel-efficient vehicles. And, of course, this was, you know, the beginning of concern about fuel-efficient vehicles and what have you until this crisis took place. There really wasn't any mandate on fuel efficiency. And so we were just beginning to learn how to deal with that. And at the time, the governor was being chauffeured around by the state police in a big gas guzzling Lincoln Continental, I think. And I was personally driving a Volkswagen convertible that just happened to be my personal vehicle. And I parked my Volkswagen right next to his Lincoln Continental there, just as you go through the tunnel at the state capitol. And those two vehicles being parked side by side attracted some attention and caused questions of the governor at the time, which was kind of interesting.
So as this progresses, this really does begin. And you know, Randy, listening to these cuts, it's not, of course, an exact parallel to 2020, but you get a sense of that because lifestyles were having to be altered and changed and work schedules and things like that as there was less access to gas.
Oh, very much so. And the gas station owners realized that, and they were looking at cooperating and making this work and with the rationing and that sort of thing. So, you know, they were talking about selling, not selling gas on the weekends and the short supplies, and had some advice, you know, for just the average citizen to save gas.
It's going to be some doubling up. People are going to have to use carpools more. And just as I said to my wife the other night, she and I are going to have to start using one car to go to work in. It'll be a little inconvenient. The hours are a little different. But I just feel like people are going to use that car. They will pay that 6 or 7 cents or whatever.
these poor people can't afford to pay that. You know, if they raise it up 10 or 15 or 20, maybe up to 20 cents, they can't hardly pay that price because, you know, they just have to stop and, you know, do a lot of walking because, or start riding bicycles or something because they can't afford that price.
There is a little possibility it'll stabilize the business.
Could you explain that?
Well, by stabilizing it, I feel like we've gotten back to the point where we're having gas wars and confusion again, and some operators are operating without a profit again, and this might help to stabilize the situation.
Thank you.
All right, let's revisit Archie Schaefer, who was the chief of staff for Governor Dale Bumpers. When we heard him previously, he was talking about the difference between the car that the governor was in, that the state police were chauffeuring
and
him
his
in.
VW convertible.
So what happens next?
Well, this is a great story that he threw out there, and we'll just let him tell it.
One of his news conferences back during those times, when questioned about the big gas guzzler vehicle he was being chauffeured around in, telling the news media that he was going to buy a more fuel-efficient car and that Archie, his chief of staff, had ordered such a vehicle. And after the news conference was over, I said to him, Governor, we've not ordered that vehicle. And he says, you have now. And we did.
I love that. I love that. And what I love about that story is you suspect that's how politics sometimes work. I just love knowing that it actually is.
Well, Archie's a candid guy.
Yeah.
You know, he'll tell you.
Well, and regardless of the candidate or the party, I feel for the chiefs of staff because you know that happens where your person, your man, your woman gets out there and says something off the cuff, and now you've got to scramble.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you have now.
Plus, Archie just is a great storyteller. He delivers that so well.
Yeah, oh, he is. Yeah. But, you know, Bumpers is now, he gets it. He's on board, and he's actually had a group of truckers show up at the governor's mansion. Mm. And they don't really know what they want to talk to him about. They don't know what he can do. They just need someone to talk to. And he was very good about listening and really advocating for especially the independent truckers, because there are these guys out there that it's killing them.
Yeah.
They're driving their own truck and they're paying for the gas. It's not a company. It's a small business.
I recognize that you cannot ask a man to run a truck when he's losing money every mile he runs it. And so I think the real nitty gritty of this dispute is the National Administration going to give the truckers that amount of relief that will allow them to operate their rigs profitably? It's just as simple as that.
And then KATV was there when the trucks moved.
Yeah, this is pretty crazy. They the truckers were not exactly striking, but they were, I guess you would call it civil disobedience. They were blocking the diesel pumps. They would pull up their trucks at truck stops and would not allow other truckers to get gas. And it was causing some big problems, and Governor Bumpers helped work through this, but KATV was actually there. One of the truckers that represented the group was talking, and their deadline was hit. It was kind of amazing.
What we're going to do now is we're going to open these truck stops up and let the ones that want to pump diesel fuel go ahead and pump the diesel fuel. In other words, we're going at the shutdown now on a strictly legal basis. 9 o'clock this morning, we are going to pull our trucks away from the truck stops. The ones that are blocking the fuel pumps, we're going to pull them out on the lot and park them. While we're still going to be shut down, we're not going to do anything that might get us in trouble with the law. And in this way...
Let's move.
It's 9 o'clock. Okay. We'll be right back.
Yeah, that is a great cut. And there were, I don't know how widespread or how organized they were, but there were so-called wildcat strikes at the time where independent truckers would just say, you know what? This weekend, we're not transporting. See if you can...
Yeah, to heck with it.
Yeah.
We're going to stop and block.
Yeah.
It's what they would do.
So...
But, you know, there were so many other, you know, peripheral issues that you don't really think about. Of course, you know, if you wanted to go on vacation somewhere, you're sitting in line. Or if you want to go on the weekend Friday night, well, the gas stations are going to be closed. So you sit in line and wait to get gas. And people were, you know, filling up gas cans and doing all kinds of things. But KATV was also covering the other issues that might be involved. Like, for instance, busing was new in the Little Rock School District. And the superintendent, Paul Farrell, or Paul Fair talked about his concerns about not having enough gas to bus kids to school.
If this gets to be a very, very serious problem where we cannot get enough gasoline for the companies to operate buses that we lease, then we have, of course, some alternatives. The most severe one, of course, would be to discontinue student transportation, which is in opposition to the federal court's ruling. Of course, we will not do that without presenting the problem to the court and asking for a solution there.
So this sort of our trip is going to sort of end on what initially might seem like a surprising place, but it's a now taken for granted automobile policy that not only stems from the gas shortage, but stems from an Arkansas source.
Well, and Archie reminded me of this. I've forgotten all about it. Was the right turn on red. And when Governor Bumpers became Senator Bumpers, he went to Washington, and one of the first pieces of legislation he pushed was a right turn on red to save gasoline.
One of the more interesting things that came of it was the right turn on red legislation that he introduced, one of the first things he introduced after being elected to the Senate in 1974, which was in the immediate aftermath of the crisis. One of the first bills he passed in order to conserve fuel was right turn on red, which many of your listeners will remember. Until then, when you stopped at a red light, you had to sit there through the red light and could not turn right on red. But Bumpers passed a piece of legislation in Washington that allowed and encouraged people to turn right on red in order to save gas.
It's hard for me to remember. I'm not sure I do remember not being able to turn right on red.
Oh, me either.
And when you
you kind of take it for granted as convenience, but it really had a purpose.
I mean, you think about it, if you're at the intersection of Lafayette and Dixon at 4:30 in the morning, and you have to wait till that thing turns green to go right, you've lost half a tank.
Hey, that used to be the law.
Yeah, I loved this one, Randy. I mean, I love them all, but this one was not necessarily out of left field, but it just kind of reminded me, and I'm sure many who are with us today, of times that we had completely forgotten about.
I know. So will you close out with a little Sammy?
Well, I don't know. Maybe one we'll Sammy see. Song per episode is enough, but we'll see what happens.
Okay.
Randy Dixon with the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. Just put in Pryor Center in a search engine, and you'll find all kinds of history. Randy, thanks so much.
Thank you, Kyle. Enjoyed it.